I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 305, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019, 1 hour down, two more to go. As I got to till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Yeah, I mean, Gallen was unbelievable. We talked a little bit of Mets. We'll get to your call here in a second. But yeah, Gallen was unbelievable for the Diamondbacks. He's one of the better pitchers in the league. What he did a couple years ago, they were talking about on the broadcast, 240 innings, made 40 starts deep into the playoffs on their World Series run. He's just one of the better pitchers. And last night, he had a breaking ball that the Yankees could not figure out. And there really was no adjustment either. It was a frustrating night watching them swing over, and he was extremely good. But the Yankees have to have a better approach. And I want to get into a couple things with the Yankees in a minute, but I want to get back to the calls as well. I'm tired of Anthony Volpe. Like, this is going to annoy me now. All right, and I don't typically get annoyed, and I try not to pay too much attention to the noise around this stuff. That's a bunch of meaningless stuff, but like, I can just sense that because of the bats, because of the short porch on some of the home runs, that we are, that this kid in a huge year for Anthony Volpe, this is a huge year for me. I've been on record saying if this is not a good offensive season for Anthony Volpe, the New York Yankees, I'm not saying he can't be the start shortstop next year. I'm not saying they have to move him or do something or bring in another shortstop. But I don't know if you can just go into the offseason assuming that Anthony Volpe is the starting shortstop. Like, if other things present themselves, if another team calls with a shortstop they're looking to trade or a shortstop in the free agent market, like, the Yankees this year, I'm sure, and would like to, moving forward, not have to worry about the shortstop position and not even think about it, not consider it, and not, you know, look to address it. And if Anthony Volpe doesn't have a good offseason, I think that has to go out the window. I'm not saying that situation will present itself and that he won't be the shortstop or that he can't be, but I have to be open to replacing Anthony Volpe next year if he has another 660 OPS. Like, I just think you have to be. You can't wait forever. You're the New York Yankees. And we'll get into what that means and why I'm still looking for third base. And guess who's having a great start to their season? Go trade for Nolan Arenado now. We got to do that in a little bit too. But Anthony Volpe's having this incredible start, four home runs, and I feel like because of the bats and the torpedo bat and the short porch of the couple of home runs, that it's almost like he's being mocked for hitting these home runs, or that, you know, like it's going to be a talking point of like, is he really doing this, or is he, you know, blah blah. Who cares? These bats are legal. They found, I mean, wow, here's baseball. They researched their players and did a deep dive on their player and found a way to make them more successful. God forbid. But he's having a good start. He hasn't had a hit besides the home run. But Anthony Volpe, you know, nobody in the American League has more home runs than Anthony Volpe. And this is power we've seen. He had 20 home runs his rookie year. We were expecting more. I think he tried to change his game last year and be more of that contact guy and kind of get his batting average up. And now he's back to swinging hard. He's got the new bat, sure. But he's come through. Last night's a big home run to at least make a game of it in the ninth. He's had good at-bats, and he's hit the ball hard. So I'm excited about what Anthony Volpe can do this season. Once he gets on base on a regular basis, hopefully start running the bases. But it's early, but I'm starting to get annoyed already at the idea that, you know, we're going to laugh it off on what Anthony Volpe's doing to start the year. He's having a good start. And four home runs is a good start for Anthony Volpe. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. We'll do a little bit more Yankees and what they need in a little bit. We started with the Mets, though. Chris in Astoria wants to talk about Vientos. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Real fast, though, the D-backs are a scary team to face in the playoffs.
They are.
They can hit and they can pitch.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you're going to see Kelly, who can pitch pretty well, not like the other two. But, yeah, that's a pretty good – if Gallen looks like that, him and Burns are as good a 1-2 punch, you know, as there is in baseball, really. You know, you could even – Snell and Glass now right now are as good as they get, as good as it gets, and there's other teams. But, I mean, that is a devastating combo, no doubt.
And the young kid, Fat, is not that bad either. I mean, yeah. Not those two, but he's not bad at all. No.
And they have an offense that has speed and power. I mean, they've got, yeah. You know, they led the league in runs scored last year. So they are definitely a dangerous team. There's no doubt.
They won't win that division, but in
well,
that
no,
short
of
series,
course not.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. But back to Vientos, I think you were 100% right with, you know, what you said. Like, I mean, people just want to blow it out of proportion. I don't know if you watched it. I watched it a few times. He didn't dog it the whole way. It wasn't right. He did slow down.
Yes.
I think he might have thought he was out. So, I think people just want to blow it out of proportion.
No, well, listen, he definitely did. Listen, he definitely didn't hustle throughout. If he ran hard the entire way, he's safe. And it's always a bad look. It's always a bad look. And he was talked to, as he should have been. Like, I'm not saying, I agree with you, he gets blown out of proportion a little bit. But it was worth talking to him. I think he should have been talked to.
Oh, yeah.
And he did. You know, and they did. But... like it doesn't change the idea that, you know, it's not so much being blown out of proportion. It's just that what are you getting from Vientos right now? Because those are the signs. Because I agree with you. I don't think Vientos is lazy necessarily. I didn't think Gleyber Torres was lazy necessarily. It's that he's getting frustrated right now because he's hitting under 100. And when he thinks he's out,
he's the one guy.
Yeah.
He's the one guy that I don't worry about as much as a second year because he's been through a lot. He's been up and down last year, even the year before. He kind of been through a little bit of mental toughness where I could see him bouncing back easier than, you know, like a Beatty or someone like that, where I'm not as worried as everybody else's. I mean, I would like him to hit, obviously.
Yeah. Well,
but
I don't know the level of worry.
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't know the level of worry necessarily. I just think that it would have been a more of a talking point had they lost that game and because of his impact on losing the game. Like he defensively, he was terrible yesterday. So
horrible.
So, I mean, if he's not going to hit, he's not going to run out ground balls, he's going to be terrible defensively, and the Mets just lose a series to Miami as they're heading into opening day. I don't necessarily think it's this thing of like, oh, man, like, I don't know if there's a real conversation of like, who the hell is Vientos? Like, we don't know. I mean, I think it would be more of just man.
I would want to bench him. I would want to bench him and, you know, get him off the team. And,
I don't know about benching, but there would be listen, right now, do you feel confident that he's a everyday Major League third baseman? Defensively?
No, but so, I have faith that he could find it out because he's been up, he's been down, he's been through heartache. He wasn't the guy in the system where I think that a little bit of mental toughness, if you're the guy in the system and you struggle, you don't really know how to bounce back. But he was always the third or fourth guy, so he had to work his way up to be the number one guy.
Right.
I think he will be able to bounce back better than the other guys and the other younger guys in the system.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I hear what you're saying. Thank you for the call. I know Beatty was the top third base prospect in all of baseball when he first came up. Vientos wasn't that guy. Vientos didn't come with the promise of Beatty and some other prospects, I guess. I don't know how much that really weighs on you. Because now, like... it's not so much that. It's the expectation. Last year, there were none. Like, you mentioned Sal, and I love him. And, you know, I guess someone sent me audio of him claiming I'm going at him or whatever. I don't know. But it's not so much where he was in the farm system or what he's been through. Last year, when he was sent down and J.D. Martinez was signed, there were Met fans, Sal Licata being one of them, because I was filling in for him while he was moving. He called into the show the day they signed J.D. Martinez and, you know, played the King Cohen music and had some fun. And part of it wasn't just J.D. Martinez is here. Part of his enthusiasm was Vientos is going back down to the minors, you bum. Like, that was, like, so last year, coming up, hitting, sent back down, coming up again, going through it, there was no real expectations for him, right? He had to solidify his spot, which is a different kind of pressure. Like, he's trying to solidify his spot on the team. He's trying to prove he's a major leaguer. That comes with its own pressure, no doubt. But there wasn't outside anticipation of now we expect big things. It was, hey, are you a major leaguer or not? Hey, do you belong up here? Or do you belong? Are you a quadruple A player? And we're having that conversation with Beatty right now. Like, it's a different kind of pressure, and it is pressure, no doubt. It's your livelihood, it's your career, it's whether or not you're going to stick in the major league. So you could argue it's more or less pressure. It doesn't matter. It's just different type of pressure. Right now, he's dealing with the pressure of, okay, I've made it. I'm the starting third baseman for the Mets heading into the season, and now everyone expects me to be a superstar. Now I'm not supposed to just hit 260 and prove I can be here. Now I have to be an offensive cornerstone for a team that has Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in it. Like, there is a different type of pressure that he's now dealing with, and it's the pressure of expectation. There was none last year, and now there's a ton. He had a great year. He had a great postseason. He is supposed to be right there in the middle of this lineup, in a lineup that has Pete Alonso, the second most prolific home run hitter in the game since 2019, behind Aaron Judge, Francisco Lindor, who makes $300 million, gold glove, platinum glove level shortstop, who almost won the MVP last year, and the $765 million man Juan Soto, and yet he's supposed to be right there in the same mix as them as part of the force of this lineup that's going to carry them to a division championship and finally winning their first World Series since 1986. That's a lot. That's pressure. It's different pressure than he was under last year. And so far, again, six games, it feels like, and we don't even know if it's true, but it feels like he's having a tough time with that pressure. And that could be reading too much into it, and that could be looking too deep into it, but it's what it feels like. When you're making bad errors like that, when you're not sure what to do with the baseball when it comes to you, when you're not running out ground balls, when you're pressing, when you're frustrated, when you're throwing the bat, when you're hitting under 100, like, it just feels like he's struggling with the pressure that he put on himself with his performance last season. He's trying to live up to last year, and it's tough. Baseball's not an easy game. Having said that, I still believe in him, and I think once he gets that momentum going, I'm sure he'll find it. But right now, it looks a little shaky for him, and I think he could look to his buddy Pete Alonso and say thanks, because I think he saved him a bunch of crap over the next 2 days. Now, maybe you could turn off, and then once opening day starts, no one cares. But all today, the talk would have been Vientos. And we're having the conversation right now, so it still will be. But Pete Alonso was my open. The home run, winning the game, being 3-3, heading back home for opening day, feels a hell of a lot better than losing this game and blaming Vientos for the loss. So hopefully this can give them a little bit of a breather. They come back home for the first time in a while. They play in front of their fans who are excited. It's going to be a crazy day at Citi Field, no doubt. It's going to be a packed house, a lot of enthusiasm. First at bats for Juan Soto, so he won't be the talking point of tomorrow on Friday either, because it's going to be Juan Soto, first game in a Met uniform. So he can kind of fly under the radar despite having this terrible game, thanks to Pete and thanks to the pomp and circumstance of opening day. Let's go to Kenny in Queens. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Samantha. Yes, great day for Alonso. Thank God. Yep. He's been taking pitches, walking two doubles, three on homer.
Yeah, three hits in this game. He's really been the most productive Met hitter without question. He's got the two biggest hits on the year. And yeah. I mean, smacking him, he had three hits in this game. Yeah.
For Vientos, he's gonna be fine. It's only six games in.
Of course.
And one other thing about the torpedo bat is so stupid. To me, it's mind-boggling. Yes. Because, listen, that's a sweet spot of the bat, and don't throw the ball there. I mean, it's not a corked bat. It's not, it makes no sense to me.
No, it's complete. These bats, and thank you for the call, they're completely legal, Kenny. They are completely legal. They've been checked out with Major League Baseball. Other teams are using them. The Mets are using them. All the Met fans who hit me up and talked about how they needed to cheat after losing Juan Soto and all this crap, like them, and that's not even to, get on Lindor or anything. I'm just saying, like, everyone's using them. It's not cheating. Anyone has the ability to go get these bats made. And they're made individual for each player. Like, it's not just like we heard the report the Braves are ordering the bats. You don't just get a torpedo bat and pick it up and swing it. You don't just go, I swing a 32-ounce, so get me a 32-ounce torpedo. Like, that's not, like, they're making these bats designed for every hitter and where they typically hit the ball. Like, it's no different than what we see from pitchers. Like, I know this is manipulating things, but, like, they go through it with pitchers and they see where their, how their pitch tracking goes and what's best for them and go through all the numbers and they work on it. It's the same thing. You're putting a bat that anyone can use. They have the technology. It's like getting fitted for golf clubs. You go there, you swing 1,000 swings, and they see where you're making most contact, and they design the bat. The barrel still has to be within the same. Like, we've gone over all this. I don't want to keep going over all this. There's no reason to get upset about it. It's clearly not cheating. You know, Fleeks, I got to tell you, I know you said you were happy you weren't here for it. I don't know if you heard my call the other night at the end of the show, you might have been happy you were here for it. Because someone called me up at the end of the show and asked me how Barry Bonds must feel, like a real home run hitter like Barry Bonds, how he must feel about the sanctity of the home runs being hit with these torpedo bats.
That's amazing. Was he serious?
Yes, he was dead serious. How do you think the great home run hitters of the previous generation, like how is Barry Bonds watching this, knowing they have these ridiculous bats hitting all these home runs, knowing how many he could have hit with these bats? I'm like, you just called me up to talk about the sanctity of the Barry Bonds home runs and how it's unfair for future generations. And Barry Bonds is the one you feel is being delegitimized here. I couldn't believe it.
That's incredible. I might have been rolling over in the chair hearing that.
I couldn't.
And I'm someone who like loved and appreciated watching Bonds. I don't care that he did steroids.
Yeah, me neither.
But he did steroids, and that's why he hit almost 800 home runs.
Of course. And then I said, so how do you think Hank Aaron felt? Like, what are we talking about? And he goes, well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as steroids. That's, people are trying to say this is the same as steroids. It's crazy. The talk around this bat was just so ridiculous.
You know what? I hope they end up being like steroids. Bring back a bunch of guys hitting 50, 60 home runs.
No, exactly right. No, we want to see 16 strikeouts last night. Like, I agree with you. Offense is good for the game. More excitement, more balls put in play. We've seen a real resurgence of pitching over the last handful of years. Now, like, I know we talk about it, right? With how many strikeouts last night, or Devers 0-for-19. I haven't paid attention to what he's done the last couple of days, but Devers the other day was 0-for-19 with 15 strikeouts, and everyone was giving me the stats of, Tony Gwynn struck out 15 times in 500 at-bats. He struck out 15 times in 19 at-bats. You know, Joe DiMaggio struck out 41 times in a season. And as much as I will tell you Tony Gwynn was a wizard with the bat, and Joe DiMaggio is one of the greatest hitters who ever lived, I'm not trying to diminish them. They would strike out more in today's game for two separate reasons. One, pitchers are better. I know we don't want to hear this, and previous generations don't want to hear this because it's always, 90s basketball fans, the basketball is better than it is now. Baseball fans, football fans, it's always better than it is now. Now you can, football fans, you can't touch the quarterback. Baseball fans, people strike out left and right. Like, yeah, because it's more difficult.
Linemen and defenders of the 50s wouldn't be able to touch the quarterback because they wouldn't be able to catch even the slowest guy out there.
Right, exactly right. Exactly right.
Lamar Jackson would run for a touchdown every single play he snapped the ball.
I know, right.
He could play 1 against 11.
100%. Offensive linemen weighed 240. I think Dexter Lawrence would have a pretty good job against the offensive line of, give me any great offensive line of the 50s and 60s and 70s, whoever you want to give me.
Dexter Lawrence, like guys like that, could be the best running back 70, 80 years ago.
That's a good point. Yeah. No, it's the same. We get so hung up on these. Like, I'm telling you right now, there's two reasons. And again, the 56-game hitting streak from Joe DiMaggio. He doesn't do it today. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm sorry to break your hearts. Like he doesn't do it today. Because you know why? Because after his second at-bat, there's going to be a sidewinding righty brought in just for him, throwing 100 miles an hour. He's not facing the same pitcher who threw both ends of a doubleheader 3 days prior, who's going out there throwing 500 pitches, and he's not getting taken out of the game, and he's throwing 87-mile-an-hour fastballs. All right? It's a different world. It's a different world. Joe DiMaggio wouldn't have a hit streak. Joe DiMaggio wouldn't strike out 41 times. Tony Gwynn would strike out more than 15 times for two separate reasons. One, the pitching is far better. It's become much more specialized with late-inning guys who everyone throws 100 miles an hour. And two, you don't get paid for not striking out. They don't teach it the same. They don't coach it the same. If Joe DiMaggio was born in today and brought up in today's baseball, he'd swing a hell of a lot harder and try and hit more home runs because that's how you get paid, and that's what we believe is better players these days. He would strike out more. Like, I'm so sick of that. Listen, does that excuse the amount of times we see a lot of these guys strike out? No, it's a part of baseball. Guys swing and miss. We don't care how the outs are made anymore. It's a different thing. I get it. Everyone's looking for your ace swing on every pitch. I get it. But it's also more difficult, and we have seen a trend where these pitchers and the Rapsodo machine, and we can find out exactly how to change pitch shapes and all these pitching labs. You don't hear a lot about hitting labs, do you? There's pitching labs left and right. You don't hear a lot about hitting labs. It's hard. It's as hard as it's ever been to hit the baseball. It's as hard as it's ever been. So if we're going to find ways to help the bat a little bit, or, you know, make it more specialized for a hitter who tends to hit it off the label, or, we'll see if guys hit it off the end of the bat, you can see the barrel being moved up a little bit. It's just a way to help a hitter who makes contact at a certain part of the bat. And we're going nuts about it. It's so dumb. And again, they would all do it. Like, everyone would do it if it's, and they're going to start doing it. But, like, you tell me Mickey Mantle wouldn't have been like, hey, this bat's going to help you. All right, let me use it. You've all watched 61. He ate green eggs for crying out loud to get better. He took, they would have all done it. It's so dumb. We get so hung up on strikeouts. The Yankees struck out last night. Got to put the ball in play. Of course, you got to put the ball in play. You try and hit that curveball. It's not easy. But the Yankees do need a right-handed hitter. And here's something else I want to say about the New York Yankees real quick. Like, everyone seems to be upset about Pablo Reyes being the first right-handed bat off the bench. And I just want to ask a question. I just want to bring it up. I want to think about it. Because clearly the Yankees need another right-handed bat. Wouldn't deny it. And clearly I'm not satisfied with Pablo Reyes being the bench guy for right-handed hitting. I get it. I'm not happy about that. They should have a better bench. They should have a better player. And again, Nolan Arenado is hitting 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. His bat speed is ticked up. Go trade for Nolan Arenado right freaking now before he has a really good year. And at the deadline, everybody is looking to trade for him. And it's going to cost prospects instead of just money. And guess what? The Yankees aren't loaded with prospects to trade, and that'll be part of my conversation when we get to Sandy Alcantara and the idea that the Mets and Yankees would both be up for him at the trade deadline. But here's my question, because I really feel like it's like funny to me about how the Yankee fans, or just baseball fans in general, feel so quickly into the season. Pablo Reyes, right? They already want. Oswald Peraza being the guy off the right-handed bench. Why do we hate Oswald Peraza? Why are we not doing this? Why do I have to see Reyes again in this spot? Blah, blah. Like, do you want these teams? Same thing now, Beatty. Get Beatty the hell out of here. Put in Acuna. He's been better over the last couple days. Why is Beatty still in the lineup? Just play Acuna. He's better, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Do you think that organizations, whether it's Brian Cashman, who I know you all love and respect, or whether it's David Stearns, who I really know you all love and respect, should they not have convictions in their thought processes 6 games into the year? Like, here's my question to any Yankee fan who is screaming about Pablo Reyes and Aaron Boone pinch hitting him as opposed to Oswald Peraza and doing all. They know they need right-handed bats. They know they do. They know it. They haven't been able to do it, and I think the owner in this case, which I've yelled about all offseason, is inhibiting them from doing it and not willing to spend the money to go do it. But they know they need right-handed bats. They knew they didn't have enough. They know against left-handed pitching they're going to have issues. They know all this. They know how right now, at least, that the Martian isn't great from the right side. They need more right-handed pop. They went through spring training, and Pablo Reyes had a great spring. He had a great spring. And as a career major leaguer, he has not been that good, except against left-handed pitching, in which he is very successful. Say what you want about him. He was a butcher at third base in the second game of the year. And I don't love him, but he hits right-handed. He hits left-handed pitching, and they need right-handed bats. They are six games in. Right? We talk about accountability, and we talk about giving the players who've earned it the opportunity. The guy mashed in spring. The Yankees had a belief. The Yankees saw something and made a decision. Do we really want organizations to give up on their thought process and their beliefs four games in and six at-bats in? Like, I just sometimes I think we overreact to the point. Now, again, Aaron Boone should have a better option than Pablo Reyes. And Brian Cashman should have given him a better option than Pablo Reyes. And the owner should be willing to pay for a better option than Pablo Reyes. But that's who they have. And I know they have a young prospect in Oswald Peraza down there. And they haven't shown him a lot of love. And he hit a home run earlier in the season. But they had spring training and they had a battle for who would be that right-handed bat. Pablo Reyes won it. He won it. And now five games in, they haven't even played their sixth game. 5 games in, we want them to abandon that thought process, not care that he won the job in spring and that he performed for them when he had to save his job and still be in the major leagues. And they want them to abandon that 4-5 at bats in to the season. Like, eventually they might have to, and hopefully they will get a better player so that it doesn't have to be the option. I'm with you. I want Nolan Arenado so bad I can taste it. But what makes me laugh is, like, we want accountability. We want them to play the guys who've earned it and deserved it. And this guy earned it and deserved it over spring. And now he's like 6-7 at bats in, and we're screaming every time he's up. I can't believe I'm watching, but I can't take this. We knew what it was heading in. Should Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees abandon what they believed 5 games in? Like, why is he up? He's up because they know they need a right-handed bat. He's mashed lefties in his history, and he had a good spring. Should they not give him the opportunity? Like, it just makes me laugh. I don't love it. I'm not thrilled about it. But we get mad 4 days in. Like, we all knew what the roster was. Should they abandon their thought process? Should they have no, like, should it just be like, well, this is what we think. Oh, man, he struck out. Forget it. I guess we were wrong. I mean, it's crazy to me. Like, we want organizations to make rash decisions 2 days in of a thought process that had been made for 40 days. They had a process of an entire month and a half at spring training, had a decision, made it, and now we should abandon it 3 days in because he's not hitting in 5 or 6 at-bats. That's why I will stick with Beatty for a while. He earned it in spring. I know he's been up here before, and I know Acuna's played better than him, but they made a decision to give this guy an opportunity. It's got to last more than 2 series on the road. And everyone's clamoring, get this guy off the field, just play Acuna, and that might happen, and it might be what plays itself out over the next month or so. But, like, these organizations, these teams, they have a decision-making process, they made it, and we want them to abandon that at the first sign. And this is minor stuff. Like, Beatty's not going to make or break the Mets. And Pablo Reyes, as the bench piece, right-handed bat coming off the bench, certainly isn't going to make or break the Yankees. And I hope they improve it over the course of the season, and they better. But, like, right now, every Yankee fan is screaming, I got to watch this. I got to see this. Yes, you do. You do. Otherwise, we're just an organization that throws dart, you know, who just doesn't care. And it's like, okay, well, I thought this. I guess we're wrong. Oh, like, there's got to be convictions in your decisions. Otherwise, why are we making them?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. It is the land of confusion, especially for the Atlanta Braves. As I was just looking at this, The Atlanta Braves, who, let's be fair, I mean, got walked off last night after having, I believe it was a 5-0 lead, watching Ohtani hit one out. And I guess we do have to have a conversation about the ESPN Top 100. I know people love lists, and I've been banging the drum for, you know, defending Aaron Judge against all haters after last year's World Series. And I don't care what the list is. The idea that he's fourth on it is absurd. We'll get to that, as Ohtani clearly is number one, but he hits the walk-off for the Dodgers last night. And the Braves, listen, to start the year out west against San Diego and L.A., it's not an easy go of it, right? You would expect them to win a game or two, but that is a tough. It's not like they're doing this against the Pirates and the Nationals or something. Like, these are, you know, two of the best teams in baseball that they go out on the road to start their year. But the Atlanta Braves are now 0-7. No team in MLB history. Now, this is amazing to me, considering, one, it's probably less teams than you think maybe go that actually go 0-7 in baseball, because you're bound to win a game. And 0-7 seems like a large number, but it's also baseball. You play 162. I mean, we have seen 7-game losing streaks on teams that win the World Series. Like, the idea that a 7-game losing streak would be this problematic for a team, even if it's to start the year, is odd to me. But the Atlanta Braves at 0-7, no team in Major League history has ever made the playoffs after starting 0-7. That is no team has ever. This isn't a football season where no team has ever made the playoffs after starting 0-7. They play 162. And in the history of this great game, no team has ever made the playoffs after starting 0-7. I honestly can't even believe that. Because we have seen, I mean, I bet you can go back to, like, there are worlds. I think the 2000 Yankees probably at one point lost 7 games in a row. Like, there have definitely been championship teams. Forget playoff teams. I guarantee you there has been a World Series team that has lost 7 games in a row. So what's the difference about at the start of the year? I cannot believe that the Braves have put themselves in a position, and that's why, like, I don't know. Maybe I just have a weird feeling that might end up, especially now with the more playoff teams than ever. Again, you go back all the years we mentioned, all the years of baseball, and we were talking about the difference in the game for now and back then. It also used to be there was no playoffs. You had for many years in baseball history, you had the best record in the American League, you went to the World Series. You had the best record in the National League, you went to the World Series. Then there was just the ALCS. Then, obviously, the wild card era. And then, now we've got all these added playoff teams, so maybe this will be the year that changes. And I understand starting 0-7, it's hard to finish with the best record in the American League, but like a 7-game losing streak in June or in August, you know, gets brushed aside because it happens. It's amazing to me that no team in the history of baseball has ever made the playoffs 0-7. Oh, Fliegelman is giving me a little bit. See, look at that. He's got some news. The longest losing streak for a team that won the World Series was 9. The 1953 Yankees lost 9 games in a row. And the Cardinals of 06, who weren't a very good team, and that's not to tweak the Met fan, they weren't. The 06 Cardinals had 2 separate 8-game losing streaks. And I think the White Sox had a 7, the 05 White Sox, who had a really great year and started out, if you remember, that 05 White Sox team had a great start to their year. And maybe that's part of it, right? You get off to a great start, but still. So, I mean, we've seen World Series teams lose more than 7 in a row. The 1953 Yankees lost 9 in a row. And again, they finished with the best record in the American League, obviously, if they won the World Series. So they had the best record in the American League and lost 9 in a row in 1953. The 2006 Cardinals had 2 separate 8-game losing streaks, which is obviously a game worse than the Braves' start here. And no team that's ever started 0-7 has made the playoffs. I don't know. That's odd to me. And you know what? For some reason, this is the year where it probably gets broken, because I think the Braves are pretty good. I know they went through now with Profar being suspended for 80 games, rather, and now not being eligible to play in the postseason. I still think they're pretty damn good. I still think they got pretty good starting pitching. I still think, obviously, you know, I haven't necessarily gone through their offensive numbers, but they had so many down offensive numbers last year that I would expect. You know, Riley had a terrible year. A bunch of different guys. They're gonna get back Acuna obviously at some point this season. I expect. Why am I blanking on the first baseman's name? I have no idea why, but I am. Matt Olson. I knew it started with an M. Samsonite. I was way off. Got the S right though. Olson had a miserable year last year after having an MVP caliber season 2 years ago. I think he'll have a bounce back year. Riley will have a bounce back year. You're going to get Acuna back. I just think that the Braves are still a pretty damn good baseball team. And it's amazing to me they've gotten off to this bad start, but I think there is a decent chance that you could see the Braves rally from 0-7 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I was interested in their playoff odds, so I went on FanDuel. They still have the sixth best odds in the NL at -176 ahead of the Diamondbacks.
To make the
playoffs? To make the playoffs. Actually, yeah. If you're interested in one bet, division, they've gone from the favorite preseason, they're now +280.
Yeah, I still, +280 is not an unbelievably great number, but yeah. I mean, I think that's a decent bet. I think the Braves are a good baseball team. I think they've gotten off to a lousy start, and I think 7-game losing streaks happen. And they don't even have their best player back yet. So, like, I doubt very much that the Braves are going to be out of it. I would be shocked if we're not in August and September, and the Braves are at the very least right in the middle of the wild card.
You have this one, too. Their adjusted over-under is now 89.5.
It's only been adjusted to 89. What was it to start the year? 92, 93?
I think they were 93.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess how many games? It's only 7 games. How much could it move? Yeah, and 89 is still, that's a playoff team, I would think. I would think that's probably good enough to win you one of the wild cards. I would think 89 would do it. And I guess I understand why the odds are better than the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks play in a division with two undefeated teams right now. In the Padres, and obviously the best team in baseball, the Dodgers.
You know, so as far as playoff odds, the Yankees have the obviously lowest odds in the American League. They're -355. Uh-huh. You want to take a stab at what the Dodgers' odds are?
To make the playoffs?
Yeah, just to make the playoffs.
Somewhere between 800 and 1,000.
-50,000.
No way. I guess that's...
I've never seen a number like that. I almost read it. I thought it said 5,000 at first.
I know. I was guessing a little bit low, but I thought maybe they, you know, 50,000?
Like, I brought the phone close to my face to make sure I counted the right number of zeros. Like, the Phillies are next closest at -400.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Who's rich enough to bet $50,000 to win 100 bucks?
The Dodgers.
Yeah, I know, right? The Dodgers.
The Guggenheim Group.
Right. Just like you put $10 million just on the Dodgers to make the playoffs just to make a couple bucks. Oh, my God. 50,000. Hey, listen, there are crazier things. That number's crazy. I think that's a crazy number. Like, if anything could happen. They can get hurt. We've seen, you know, Otani's been injured before. Mookie Betts had something at the start of the year. Like, anything could happen. But this team is so freaking loaded. It's unbelievable. And they're living up to it right now. They are living up to it right now. They can't be beat. They come from behind. They're down 5-0. They walk it off against the Braves. Otani with a walk-off home run. They are just, they're going to be good. They're probably going to, I mean, I would think there is a chance, depending on how good the Padres and Diamondbacks are, because, you know, some of the national, I disagree with our first caller, Mike, about how good the Central is, but, like, they're going to rival the 98 Yankees. Like, there is a very good chance they are going to rival the 98 Yankees, the 0-1 Mariners, for best record in the history of the game. Like, there is a very good chance. That's how good this Dodger team is. They are fully loaded. You see, last year, May, the young starting pitcher tore his esophagus eating a salad, which is... Just remember that the next time one of you guys hit me up on social media and tell me to have a salad, it's dangerous. I don't want to tear my esophagus. He tore his esophagus on lettuce and missed the whole year. Have you seen the breaking balls he's throwing? Like, I mean, it's unbelievable the depth they have. especially at the starting pitching position. I know Sasaki obviously crying on the mound, having issues dealing with, or crying, you know, on the bench or whatever, having issues with confidence and having issues with controlling his emotions as a young kid. Still got dynamic stuff. He's just, it's actually, the fastball hasn't been as high as we thought, and he's having a little bit of trouble with command, clearly, but that team is just freaking loaded. And the other thing is, you hear about the organization, how good it is, and the farm system. And while the farm system has been good and still has some top prospects, and they've made a bunch of trades and stuff, like, most of the team, like, that's the one thing I want to point out. Like, most of the Dodgers, it's not like they've developed all these guys. Like, look around the team. All the, you know, Ohtani's not. Obviously, Ohtani's a free agent. Freddie Freeman's a free agent. Mookie Betts is a trade. Snell is a free agent signing. Glass now is a trade. Like, their back end of the bullpen is all free agent signings. Like, it's not like they've been developing a team. Like, their entire lineup, Teoscar Hernandez obviously came up with Seattle and Toronto, or, you know, or Toronto and then Seattle. Like, so it's not like they've been building this team all from within. I mean, they've spent a lot. They've spent a ton of money. It's not like they've developed this great roster. Everybody talks about how well they are from the minor league system. It's not like they developed this team. They were able to trade Verdugo for Mookie Betts, which was a good one. And then they were able to spend the money. But right now, they are just absolutely a force in baseball, undefeated. And I just have a, I can't believe the Braves are, I mean, I don't think anyone considers them out of it. The over-under is still at 89.5, but no team ever has made the playoffs after an 0-7 start. And then the other fun thing I wanted to bring up before we get to the top of the hour and say good morning at 4 a.m., all of you know, at least I've said it enough, I am a huge, and Fliegelman, me and Mike share this, and I share it with former great overnight host Tony Page, I am a huge 24 fan. I've been a huge 24 guy since the show started in 2001. I always liked Kiefer Sutherland, loved the show, have always loved the show, and I would put Jack Bauer and Tony Soprano as the two great, like, kind of anti-heroes in the history of television. I think those are two of the greatest characters in the history of television. And during the time, it got talked a little bit like that. And I just don't think 24 has aged as well. Like, no one, like, I see all these lists of the greatest television shows and greatest TV characters, and I just feel like 24 doesn't get its due. In the moment, I felt like it did, and people talked about how innovative the concept was of all the episodes being an hour long and a 24-hour day, and Kiefer Sutherland was winning awards, and they won Best Drama 1 year and everything, but as it's gone on, I feel like people have forgotten about it. But Jack Bauer is one of the great characters in television history, for my money, and Kiefer Sutherland did a great job with it. So when I saw the news today, and there's a Beatle line, when I saw the news today that there is a high school pitcher in Illinois who is throwing 102 miles an hour, already as a high school kid, is being clocked at 102 miles an hour, and his name is Jack Bauer, and he wears number 24. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, all right, if Jack Bauer hits the major leagues, and he's throwing 102 to 104 miles an hour, which isn't crazy considering he's already hitting 102 as a high school kid. He is going to be my favorite player of all time. Can you imagine Jack Bauer out on the mound wearing number 24 and blowing through everybody? I mean, that's my dream right there. The Yankees have to draft him. I don't care. They have to draft him. I need Jack Bauer in my life. That is unbelievable. 102 miles an hour in Illinois as a high school kid, 17-year-old kid throwing 102 miles an hour, and his name is Jack Bauer, and he wears number 24. It's the greatest thing I read all day.
I might want him on the Mets more than I wanted Juan Soto.
Yeah, right. I'm not. Absolutely. I'm not. That might be true. I want Jack Bauer so bad. Oh, my God. I would run out and buy a 24. I mean, I know.
You would all of a sudden want the Yankees to have names on the back of the jersey.
That's it, right. I would say, what the hell with tradition? Put Bauer on there. I need Bauer on the back. I would get a 24 Bauer jersey. And I know the faux pas it is to buy a jersey with a name on the back. I might have to do that if Jack Bauer is a member of the Yankees. Forget tradition. I don't care. I don't actually think I would want them to change the uniforms and put the names on the back, but I would wear a 24 Bauer jersey, no doubt. I don't care what people would say. Oh, you know the name's on the back. I don't care. Jack Bauer, that name is special enough. That would be freaking awesome. Jack Bauer throwing 100.
At some point, you'd have Kiefer or other members of the cast throwing out first pitches of his games.
Oh, it'd be tremendous. Yeah, no doubt.
When he's in the minors on his way up, they do meet and greets, so you could go watch him pitch in a minor league game with the Renegades and, you know, meet Tony Almeida.
No, exactly right. Tony Almeida with his Chicago Cubs mug.
The reason you have a soul patch.
Right, the reason I have, that's it. That's I decided to grow the soul patch for in name of Tony Almeida. But can you just, I mean, I could just say, oh, and Jack Bauer is absolutely torturing the opponent. Like, I don't know, there's just like so many different things.
You think this young Jack Bauer has watched the entire series?
I would think he'd have to. I mean, is there if your last name is Bauer, right? I mean, you think his parents have to be aware.
Well, right? Actually, how so? He's definitely born after the show.
Oh, no doubt.
His parents probably named him after the character.
I would think. I mean, he's wearing number 24. So what, is that a coincidence? He's got to be doing it on purpose. Whether he knew about it growing up or whatever, or just, you know, his coach or someone was like, oh, you got to wear 24, man. You're Jack Bauer. But
I mean, he's 18 at the oldest. So he's probably, he was born like when the show was one of the most popular shows on TV.
Yeah. No doubt. And if your last name is Bauer, and especially then, he's born right in the middle of the height of the show. And not that it was ever American Idol or, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or some of these shows that like became, it was very successful, but I'm just saying it wasn't like a 50 million people watching it like American Idol or some of the, CSI was always one of the higher rated shows. It was up there and it won awards, but like in the height of its success, to have your last name be Bauer, have a child, and name him Jack, you had to be aware, right? You had to know what you were doing. There's no way. There's no way. So, Jack Bauer, who wears number 24 and is throwing 102 miles an hour, that I desperately need him on the Yankees. Desperately. 888-808-1019. A little bit of fun there on the baseball world. We'll get into a little bit more on the Knicks and their loss last night and how I really, I don't know. I have a tough time judging. We were talking about this last night on what could happen in this game. And early on, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be positive about it and tell you I'm really impressed with OG Anunoby's game, and I think it's gonna be a really big key for them.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.